TV.
Where did we end up? Ladies and gentlemen, we ended up with some heavy duty truth about what is being observed and what is not being observed that is so helpful to me to know that the things that we are seeing, which are the things that vex us so much, are the things that are passing away, that are temporary, and that the things we are not seeing, the promises God has made to us, that will be fulfilled in just a matter of time. These are enduring things. These are things that will last, and these are the things we want, and we are primed for them, because we are not reaching and grabbing, struggling and straining to get what's coming to us in this world. You remember the Charlie Brown Great Pumpkin special? Or was it? No, it was the Christmas special. Charlie asks his sister Sally what she wants for Christmas, and she produces this giant list for her brother. Charlie Brown accuses her of being commercial, being a bit selfish. And I remember Sally said, "I just want what's coming to me. I want my fair share," which is funny to hear it coming from a 6 or 7 year old. "I want what's coming to me. I want my fair share." Boy, we have passed out of that, haven't we? We want what's coming to us. Yes, we do want what's coming to us, but what's coming to us is now invisible. As for a fair share in this life, there is no fair share. And this is the lament of the wise man, that men work and work and women work and work, and yet what they do ends up being passed on to the next generation. Basically, it disappears like a vapor. Whatever people accomplish in this life tends to disappear like a vapor. And yet those who are building treasure in the next life, what did Jesus say? Don't store up treasure in barns. Store up treasure in heaven. And that's what we are doing by living the evangel, by being living letters, by being gracious to others as God has been gracious with us, and by holding fast to the truth and trusting that God will deliver on the truth that he has promised us. Boy, I'm going to read the last two verses of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, and then I'm going to go right into chapter 5 because it's a continuation of what I think is one of the greatest topics in the scripture. Life and death, what is temporary versus what is lasting, but mainly life and death. What opposites? Life and death. This is what we're all confronting every day. Life and death, life and death. And I loved it in 2 Corinthians 4 that even while our outward man, that is the death part of us, is decaying, that is staggering toward the grave, yet that within the inward man, the spiritual man, is being renewed day by day. That was verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 4. Wherefore we are not despondent, but even if our outward man is decaying as a result of Adam, thanks Adam, that was all necessary. Even if our outward man is decaying, nevertheless that within us is being renewed day by day. This is the invisible action of the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 17, for the momentary lightness of our affliction is producing for us a transcendent aeonian burden of glory at our not noting what is being observed, but what is not being observed, for what is being observed is temporary. Yet what is not being observed is aeonian. Talked about that in the last show. Watch it and rejoice. Now, chapter 5. For we are aware that if our terrestrial tabernacle house, what a description of the human body, a terrestrial tabernacle house. You know, in the wilderness, they lived in tents. Israel did as they went through the wilderness between Egypt, their deliverance from Egypt and the promised land. But they called them tabernacles. They were they were ramshackle tabernacles. Well, they were actual tents. And that's very interesting. I think that our apostle was a tent maker by trade, because it is an indication that of how we are to live, of how he lived. He lived not, I was going to say not putting down stakes, but actually with a tent, you literally put down stakes. But the nature of it is that you pull the stakes up, and the nature of Israel's travels in the wilderness is that they followed the pillar of fire by day. No, the pillar of the cloud, the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night. And they had to be ready to pull up and go. They moved when God moved. So their life was to be, they couldn't hold on to anything tightly. Now, I admit to me that this, I mean, I love not holding things tightly, but this moving all the time, that would be traumatic for me. As I told you, I'm a man of ruts. I was raised in the same house. I moved once when I was 2 years old, don't remember it. And I lived then in the same house I moved to when I was two, lived in that house till I was 18, and I moved out, or maybe I was 20. I stayed with them. I liked my parents, figured I'd stay there for a couple extra years. And then when I got married, I lived in that house for 25 years. So I love stability. But Israel never had stability because, technically speaking, they were to always be looking for the move of God. And we are the same. We are the same. And I'm not on plan A in this life. I'm glad there's 26 letters of the alphabet. I'm on plan like T, U, maybe V, down to the last few letters of the alphabet in my life. This is not what I planned to do, but here we all are. This terrestrial tabernacle, temporary place to live, a terrestrial tabernacle house. That's what this body is. It's terrestrial. It belongs to earth. It survives on the earth. It cannot survive among the celestials. If our terrestrial tabernacle house should be demolished, it can be demolished in any number of ways, by disease, or by a bus, by a tornado, by a tower falling on you. The Tower of Siloam in the days of our Lord fell on some people. I just watched, well, I don't know why I did, but I watched news coverage of 9/11. The 2001, the Twin Towers falling. That's terrible. A lot of people's bodies were demolished that day, but we are aware that if our terrestrial tabernacle house should be demolished, no problem, because we have a building of God, a house not made by hands, aeonian. Remember what we just learned about aeonian? What is being observed is temporary, but what is not being observed is aeonian. So what is not being observed is this other body, a spiritual body, that is made ready for us. And it is aeonian. It will not be demolished. And it is in the heavens. So we are not to be overly concerned about the demolishing of this body. It's not a worry, because we have a building of God. This reminds me of the verse in Hebrews, when the people there, the faithful Israel of God, was looking for a city. And they were looking for a city in which to dwell. They were looking for a city not made by hands, whose artificer was God. They were looking for a permanent home. Just like the priesthood of our Lord's day was impermanent. The priesthood all through the Old Testament was impermanent, in that the high priest kept having to be replaced. Even every 7 years, our bodies are replaced. Every 7 years. You're not the same person. I guess the only thing that might be the same are your teeth. Unless you get them pulled, unless you get dentures. But all your organs regenerate. The skin you have now is not the same skin you had 7 years ago. So basically, we have new bodies every 7 years. Basically, every 7 years, our current body is demolished. But the trick there is our organs continue, our life continues, the Spirit of God continues to make its home in us. But when God withdraws that Spirit at the time of death, of course, we believe that we are not the generation that is going to die, because not all shall be put to repose. Paul says very clearly, we shall not all be put to repose, 1 Corinthians 15. That truth is being denied by opposers, by those who deny that the Lord is to return soon. Those who deny that we are to be looking for the Lord, basically, scoffers of the present day, are denying that we are looking forward, not to death, but to being snatched away and inhabiting our new body. For we are aware that if our terrestrial tabernacle or house should be demolished, we have a building of God, a house not made by hands. Well, that's true. No, this one's not made by hands either, but the analogy is a building. Paul says he compares it to a house. So in the analogy, he compares our bodies to a house. And so houses that we live in today, this house, your house, was built by God? No, it's built by humans. And it is subject to collapse, to decay. But Paul is comparing earthly tabernacles that we live in to this fleshly tabernacle that we live in. The future tabernacle we will live in is a creation of God that is not made to be temporary. This body was made to pass away. It was made to be temporary. It was made to house your soul so that you could experience what God needs you to experience. It's dispensable. It's disposable. And I know we want to take care of it as best as we can, but these bodies are disposable. They didn't come to stay. They came to pass. And every day they're dying. That's terrible. I hate it. It's a grim reality of Eon 3. This is why we look forward to immortality. We're looking for a house that is a body not made in a dispensable way, not made in a way that could be subject to demolition, but looking for a permanent body, Aeonian. That which is Aeonian, we learned in the previous chapter, is not being observed, but it is the opposite of temporary. Verse 2, for in this also we are groaning. Parallel passage with Romans 8. We are aware that all creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. Even we ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit, we are groaning in ourselves. What are we groaning for? Longing to be dressed in our habitation, which is out of heaven. What a verb, dressed, longing to be dressed. We are longing. Again, here we go. It is appropriate, very appropriate, to be longing to be dressed with a heavenly house or a heavenly body, whichever way you want to look at it. Because not only will we have heavenly bodies, but we will have heavenly home. Something like a house, something like a tabernacle, I don't know, a glorified tent, some place to live, I think. I mean, I don't have scriptures for that, but on earth as it is in heaven, what do we have on earth? We have places to live, we have dwelling places, we have cities. And of course, in Revelation 20, we see a city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven. Are there other cities in heaven? I believe there to be. I don't have scripture for you, but I am giving you my best opinion on the topic based on scripture. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The heavens provide the model for everything that happens on earth. But in this also we are groaning. That's a good thing. Some people aren't groaning. Clyde Pilkington, Dean Wilkinson, Steve Martin, Chris Carnahan, these people are not groaning, longing to be dressed in their habitation, which is out of heaven. No, no, no. They want to live here in man-made tabernacles, in decrepit, crumbling bodies that are apt to self-destruct at any moment. They're comfortable here. We're not. For we are groaning, longing to be dressed in our habitation, which is out of heaven. If so be that being dressed also, we shall not be found naked. This is a hint of the snatching away. We don't go here this often. I don't know if I've ever read this verse to you, in fact. How could it be? After 33 years, I've never read this verse to you. In this also, we are groaning, longing to be dressed If so be that being dressed also we shall not be found naked. Being found naked is the death state. Naked is not having a body at all. And if you don't have a body, then you don't have a soul. And the Spirit of God has departed from you. We don't want to be naked. That is, we don't want to be without a body. We want a body. Because if at any time you do not have a body, then you do not exist. It is known as the death state. If the body goes away and there is not immediately another body, then you are dead. We know many people, unfortunately, who have died and they are currently naked. That is, their soul has disappeared, gone to, quote, Hades, unquote, which just means unseen. That happened because their spirit returned to God. The body returns to the soil. And so they, in a figure, they are found to be naked, in a figure. Doesn't mean they're not literally somewhere without clothes. This is a figure of speech. To found naked means to be without a body. We do not long to be without a body. We want to be clothed, but we want to be clothed with a better body than the ones we have now. Chapter 4, for we also who are in the tabernacle are groaning. Here we go again with this groaning. I'm telling you, I don't feel bad for groaning. Someone criticized me that all I do on my show is complain. You groan all the time. Oh, yes, I do. I groan. I'm a groaner. Because scripture says that that's the way it is. If you're not groaning, then to me, that's strange. You're not groaning? How can you not be groaning? And I don't go around all day going, it's an inward groaning that probably manifests itself on my face. Apparently manifests itself how I carry myself. I try not to let that happen when I'm around other people, especially my wife. I try to be positive, try to carry myself well. I try to have a good posture. But within, I'm groaning. To be dressed with my tabernacle out of heaven, with my habitation, which is out of heaven. I mean, this habitation is not too bad. It's crumbling. It's breaking down. The habitation where I live is very nice. I'm not complaining. But at the same time, I am groaning because I know of what's coming. If you don't know what's coming, then why would you groan? This is the case. This is a terrible case of people who have no expectation. If you have no expectation, then you have nothing to groan for, and you think this is it, this is all there is. I don't know how people live thinking this is all there is. This is as good as it gets. Remember that Jack Nicholson movie? He's sitting in a psychiatric office with a bunch of other people with psychiatric problems, and he looks around and he says, what if this is as good as it gets? And a woman in the waiting room audibly gasped. It was a terrifying thought for her. What if this is as good as it gets? Terrifying thought. It was so terrifying, and the reaction of this woman was so profound, even though it was quiet, but it was like, that they made it the title of the movie, As Good As It Gets. People are seeking constantly for an experience in life that tops their last favorite experience. But if they get it, then they're looking for the next one, and the next one, and the next one. It's an addiction. I propose to you to give up looking for the transcendent earthly experience. I've given up on it a long time ago. Long time ago, I've given up on it. Doesn't mean you don't make plans. Doesn't mean you don't publish books. Doesn't mean you don't have hopes for a book to sell well, for people to get the truth. I hand the book to someone like the wound nurse that comes to see me. I hope that she reads it. Do I have high hopes that she's going to come here on Monday and say, I read your book, it's amazing. How do I get more information? Where's your Bible? Read to me, Martin. Tell me what Romans is about. Yeah, right. Like that's going to happen. It could happen, but I don't expect it to happen. I had a friend from California who was going through a terrible time. And she said, you know, Martin, I used to be an optimist. But really, to tell you the truth, Martin, ever since I've come into this truth concerning my life on earth, I've had very low expectations. And, you know, in fact, I've had kind of, you might say, apart from God's promises to me, no expectations. And since then, I have not once been disappointed. Kind of a sad thing, but if you have low or no expectations, you will rarely be disappointed. And the disappointment sucks, so you just don't expect anything. It's in a way, it's giving up. In a way, it's part of the groaning. I consider that part of the groaning, to be a bit of a pessimist. Doesn't mean I don't try for the best. I try for excellence on my show. I sweep the floor here, put the dishes away, try to be a decent person to my neighbors, try to be a good brother, try to be a good father to my kids. But the whole time, I'm groaning, longing to be dressed in my habitation, which is out of heaven. If so be that being dressed also, we shall not be found naked. Verse 4, for we also who are in the tabernacle are groaning. There is again, I'm not repeating the first, there is again. We also who are in the tabernacle, that's so cool how it separates us from the tabernacle. We also who are in the tabernacle, so your body like is not you. We're just in this tabernacle, this temporary flesh buggy that allows us to experience things we need to experience before we trade this body in for an aeonian body. That is a more permanent, lasting, durable body. For we also who are in the tabernacle are groaning, being burdened. Thank you, Paul. Being burdened on which we are not wanting to be stripped. Here we go again. This is a longing for the snatching away. I don't want to be stripped. That is, I don't want to have my body taken away via death. I don't want to have the spirit removed, my body returned to the soil, and my soul to disappear. That's what Paul means here. That's what he says. It's not what he means. It's what he's saying. I'm not interpreting it. I'm reading it. Does not want to be stripped. He's not talking about somebody taking his clothes off. He's talking about he does not want to be a disembodied, I was going to say disembodied spirit. That's a terrible phrase. Check that. Get rid of it. Because we are not spirits. We are souls. We are living souls. God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. Don't ever call yourself a spirit. You're not a spirit. You're a living soul. The spirit is not a personality. It's not your personality. It's the energy that animates you. It's the juice. It's the power. It's like the electricity that makes the appliances in your house run. That's the spirit. We're not wanting to be stripped, but to be dressed over and over and over again. I've never seen this repeated so much, that the mortal may be swallowed up by life. This is what I want. I want this. I want the mortal to be swallowed up by life and not stripped. Paul does not want the intermediate state of death. Paul is longing for the snatching away here. He's not saying snatching away, but that's what he's longing for. He's not even looking at the potential intermediate state of death. Not looking forward to it, not even considering it. He said, I don't want to be stripped. I don't want to be found naked. Well, what do you want? I want to be dressed in my habitation, which is out of heaven. If so be that, verse 3, being dressed also, we shall not be found naked. Swallowed up by life. We want to be dressed that the mortal may be swallowed up by life. This mortal, 1 Corinthians 15, must put on immortality. Verse 5, now he who produces us for this same longing, this gets so amazing. Where have these verses been? Now he who produces us, like we're a production. We know we're his achievement. Ephesians says, for his achievement are we being created in him for good works. Ephesians chapter 2, his achievement are we. Now we find out, he who produces us for this same longing. He produces us, puts us in this situation so that we may be longing. What goes along with the longing? Groaning and being burdened. Longing, groaning, burdened. That's what this is about. This is the state, or should be the state, of people who are walking around in a terrestrial tabernacle, who have the expectation of a celestial tabernacle and who are still waiting for it, who in the meantime do not want to be found naked, that is stripped, that is, do not want to be found at any time dead. And yet we have a teacher in the body of Christ, Clyde Pilkington, who teaches that we all must die. We all must die. So he's not looking for a terrestrial tabernacle. He's not looking for a celestial tabernacle. He's just rolling around, rolling on down the river, rolling on the river, enjoying his terrestrial tabernacle. Not me. Not me. And not you either. I know you. I know you. You're like me. I know you. We're alike. We are alike. He who produces us for this same longing is God, who is also giving us the earnest of the Spirit. That's what I have, and you have. That's why I'm talking about this so animatedly, the earnest, because I have the earnest of it. The earnest is the small bit of it, the inheritance, a bit of the inheritance. It's the actual thing. It's just, remember we talked about before, the amount, the measure of spirit. We have the earnest of the spirit. It's a down payment, but it's the real deal. It's every bit as real as the spirit that will, what does Paul say, swallow us up and instantly change these bodies of humiliation into bodies like unto his body of glory. 6, being then courageous always. Boy, does it take courage to keep going. It takes courage. It takes courage to live in a world where this earthly tabernacle could be demolished at any time, either slowly or quickly. I say quickly is better than slowly. Give me quick anytime, okay? But it takes courage. Courage. Or as a cowardly lion would say, courage. What makes the king of the beast the king of the beast? Courage. You fly with the king of the forest. And at the growl. Courage. Courage. Being then courageous always and aware that, here's the, I'll end with this verse tricks Christians all the time, aware that being at home in the body, we are away from home from the Lord. Being at home in the body, he doesn't mean feeling at home. Oh, I'm really at home. No, it just means being now, having a place to live in this body. What does that mean? That we're supposed to relish it and enjoy it? No, it just means that being at home in this body, the way Paul looks at it, the way we're supposed to look at it is we're away from home from the Lord. And that's a deplorable situation. But at the same time, we don't want to be stripped. So how can we be away from this body and have our celestial body and at the same time, not at any time, be found to be naked or stripped? This, the snatching away. And this passage is a snatching away passage. I'm realizing that now. It's dripping with the snatching away because of this not wanting to be stripped, not wanting the intermediate state of that. The intermediate state is not some intermediate state of consciousness. We're not talking about the immortality of the soul here. We don't believe in the immortality of the soul. Why? Because it's a satanic lie. The reality is death, but not all will die. There are some in the body of Christ who will not die. Paul says that, 1 Corinthians 15. I recommend believing it. Being at home in the body, we are away from home from the Lord. This does not discount the possibility of an intervening period of death. It's just stating the facts as they stand with no wish being presented here for either death or the snatching away. It's just stating the condition, the present condition as a fact, which is being at home in this body, we're away from home from the Lord. And then Paul says, for by faith we are walking, not perception. And I told you, that's the key to this whole thing. That's the key to any kind of spark or excitement you have. It's not only to live in this life, to make, to at least be of useful service in this eon. It's not to just sit around and moping and groaning, even though we groan within ourselves and we're burdened within ourselves and we want to be dressed and all that, but it's the realization that we have the spark of spirit. It is an earnest of our inheritance. Someday, very, very soon, some moment very soon, it's going to swallow us up in life. In the meantime, we are not walking by perception because that which is being observed is temporary, but we are walking by faith because that which is not being observed is aeonian in the heavens.